This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hopefully it is a little warmer come home opener 1 week from tomorrow than it is this morning, Curtis. In the 20s out there?
It feels like it's in the 20s out there. It's going to be in the mid-40s, but feel like the low-40s.
Okay. Do you have an early home opener forecast for us?
Yeah, it's going to be rainy in the morning, but the sun will come, the clouds will depart, and okay. City in this town of Massachusetts, of Boston, will be alive and well.
Okay, good to hear. By the way, apparently in Ludlow, Massachusetts, and I'm getting this information on the Subaru of New England text line, there was a brewery which was called Iron Duke Brewery, and Duke sued them.
Oh, my God.
And they had to change the name of their brewery because it had the word Duke in it. So you're right. They are obnoxious as AF down there.
And people were like, if it was BC, Courtney and Curtis would feel differently. Nope, I'd be very happy that BC was in the news in any way.
Love it.
What, are they suing the late, great Duke Ellington as well? I think Duke Ellington has passed.
No, I think Duke Ellington was before, probably not before Duke University. How long has Duke been there?
Well, what, are they going to sue his estate? Like, what are we doing? That's so dumb.
I know.
The word Duke, it's a word. It's not you.
And there are certain things you learn, and I love Courtney. She is the best.
Thanks.
Not a single laugh at Napoleon Dynamite hurts my soul.
Yeah, like none. Zero.
It's got to be a wheelhouse, because I love Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but it's got to be a wheelhouse.
That? Like slapstick comedy?
I have no idea.
Napoleon Dynamite.
It's ethereal. It's not slapstick.
Slapstick's Naked Gun, like people falling down the stairs and people laughing.
Yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah, I think it's more like your wheelhouse comedy.
Yeah.
You got to find that funny.
Good morning and hello to those who might be watching the show. You can do that on YouTube or Twitch every day. And this show on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations that you can visit: tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Portland, Maine, and Bath, Maine. Just visit springersjewelers.com to learn more. And a couple leads left, and then we'll get to They Said It. And one from Wiggy right now. Hello.
All right,
good morning.
All right, good morning. So I have never, it's been a long time since I would say this, but maybe never even as I start to think about this, the excitement that I have for this upcoming draft. Because last year, my excitement was high, but I knew what the Patriots were going to do.
But not as high as you.
No, well, you know, it's from the earth, Curtis.
Amen,
it's,
bro.
You got to keep us, you got to stay stressed out some way, somehow.
I love it.
Right? In the world we live
much
in today.
Much healthier than booze, I'll tell you that.
And so my excitement for this year's NFL draft, I tell you, is through the roof. I cannot wait till April 24th, Thursday night, to see what the New England Patriots are going to do at number four. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm hoping and praying that, you know, Shime's right with his Mark 3.0 and that Abdul Carter is there at number four.
I don't know. Your guy, Schefter, I think we'll get to it during They Said It, but it doesn't sound like Schefter is being told that he will be. But anyway.
Well, there's another Elliot wet Wolf, blanket out there?
Do you think Elliot Wolf is waiting for Shime's next Mach 2?
It would help him. He sucks.
I agree.
Well, didn't Schefter just tell us that Tennessee was taking a quarterback? Yeah,
Schefter is a pawn for every organization. He sucks.
So I am super excited. I'm hoping, and even if it'll be interesting if the Patriots do take Travis Hunter, because we'll all be wondering, is there a goal to use him
as a wide receiver?
As a wide receiver,
I think it seems like it would have to be. But yeah, well, I don't know.
We don't know, I mean, right?
The only thing we know is that there was a whisper that the powers that be love the player.
Right.
And would, if he were available, that they would be all over that particular player. That was the whisper.
Right. So I'm excited because it's really between two guys that I look at and I say it's really one guy for me, Abdul Carter. I even with Travis Hunter, I don't know how much I'm sold on him that he'll be a good wide receiver in the NFL. I'm not saying that he won't, but I just don't know, because that's not his full-time position. And yeah, he, you know, was dominant at Colorado, but that's just not his full-time position where you would put him in the likes of a Marvin Harrison Jr., a Jamar Chase, that type of player. So my excitement for this year's draft is like kind of through the roof, because I am looking forward to see what New England does at number four. I have no clue, and it's fascinating to me that I don't have an idea on what direction that they're going in.
Well, you only have to wait about a month or so, so it's right around the corner. And weekly reminder for me that if Jerod Mayo had not won that last game of the season, you'd be picking at number one.
Yeah, and then there'd be no.
I don't want to relive the past, but I just feel the need sometimes to remind people about
that. It's an important
thing to remember. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it, brother.
Well, it's Wiggy's talking football. Courtney's talking Duke. I am focused on one thing and one thing only today, and that is, Curtis, baseball.
Thank God.
Baseball's back.
Can we get back to baseball?
Baseball is back. And Alex Cora was on this radio station yesterday afternoon, as he will be throughout the Red Sox season. And he talked a little bit about his expectation for Garrett Crochet this season.
We're about to see, but physically he is. This guy is a monster. He's big and strong, and you know the way he goes about his business in the training room, in the weight room, is ace-like, right? But now, obviously, we got to go out there every 5 days and prove it. We're going to let him go. That's, you know, the expectation for our 30-plus starts, and help us win as many games as possible. And I truly believe physically he's different than others. You'll see him. You know, he's ready to go, and we have to be smart about it, too. The way the season starts, there's a lot of games early on, then the schedule actually benefits us from June, July, and August. So we'll take care of him, and if we do that, he's going to take care of us.
Okay, they're going to let him go. So 30 starts. Does the price go up as long as, I mean, if it's all of those 30 starts and you get great starts out of them, does the price go up by the end of this season?
Yes. Hell yeah, it goes up. That's why I'm kind of with Boss Man on this. Do your best to sign him now, because the price is going to go through the roof. Let's say you can get him, and I don't know the number. I know people are like, well, he's not going to do $27 million what Yamamoto makes. They're like the same age. Let's say you get him for $30 million. Max Fried, I think, is getting $36 million a year. I don't know what Garrett Cole's number is. I think it's like $33 million, but I think Fried's the highest paid pitcher. So if he has 30 starts in a great season, don't you think that number that he's going to want is north of $35-36 million a year.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pay him 10 years, similar to what you paid Garrett Cole, because he's only 25 years old. So he's going to be looking for a 10-year deal north of, what, $350 million?
Yeah.
I don't know. You said a $400 million, Curtis, right?
Yes, easily. But for me, Curtis, I would do this every time.
Operating profit-wise, do they have the money?
They have the money. And to me, if for both parties, it makes sense not to sign a long-term deal. If I'm Crochet... He is really young. He's like
25.
So you're going to be 27 entering free agency after you're potentially a top five, top three pitcher in baseball with revenues going up. You're looking at $40 to $50 million a year for 10 years. If you're the Red Sox and you give them this long-term deal, call it $35 million a year, $30 million a year, and next year he gets Tommy John, you're saying, what an idiot we are. Have we not learned our lesson?
Yeah. I mean, you can give him, call it whatever you want, call it the max or whatever. You can give him the max at the end of, you can certainly give it to him at the end of this season if you get 30 incredible starts.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can give it to him heading into that, you know, that second year of the and last year of this deal. You always can come back and give him the most money. And
last year, we were taught very clearly that anybody that says they don't negotiate in the season is saying, unless I get the deal I want, because the manager said there was going to be no negotiations, and then over the All-Star break, boom, he was extended 3 years.
Right.
So they could always meet at any point as long as it's what the player is looking for.
Okay, well, those are our leads, and 4:05 first pitch today for the Boston Red Sox and meaningful baseball, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call today on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And baseball is back. That means spring is officially here. And we will talk to Will Middlebrooks coming up at 8:20 on today's show. Right now, Courtney, with what is trending this hour.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics win easily against the Suns, 132-102, the final in Arizona. No Jason Tatum, no problem. Kristaps Porzingis led the way with 30 points. Not the same energy for the Bruins, who dropped their seventh straight, this time to the Ducks. Final score 6-2 in Anaheim.
Jeremy Swayman try to fight anybody or anything last night?
No.
Okay.
I think that there needs to be a big turnaround there for Jeremy Swayman moving forward. A happy opening day. The Red Sox are in Texas to take on the Rangers. It's the former Sox ace versus the new, as Garrett Crochet will take the mound for the Sox while Nathan Eovaldi will take it for the Rangers. First pitch at 4:05. You can listen to the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, starting with Christian Arcan on the pregame show at 3:05. March Madness resumes today. BYU is taking on Alabama to kick things off at 7:09. Then Florida faces off with Maryland. Duke has Arizona, and Texas Tech has Arkansas. In the NCAA hockey tournament, kicks off today. Half of the 16 teams in it are from New England, which is wild. 2 p.m. we'll see BU and Ohio State. 5 p.m. Western Michigan and Minnesota State face off. Michigan State and Cornell take the ice at 5:30, and Minnesota and UMass end the day at 8:30.
Wiggy is sporting a UMass hoodie today. So I
prepping
assume
the UMass.
I assume you are all in on the Minutemen.
I'm all in on the Minutemen.
Did they approve that? Will they email WEEI saying they want to have some payment?
No, because my kids go there. So I guess if one of the Duke kids were in the movie White Lotus, maybe there'd be no issue.
I could not be more excited about Bentley BC tomorrow.
Yep.
And
BC Bryant, what time is it?
What did you say?
BC Bryant tomorrow?
Bentley.
BC Bentley.
I don't even know the other
We have to iron out, you know, what our bet is going to be.
Yeah. Thinking of making the trip up there to beautiful Manch Vegas.
That has a nice arena.
Watching that game tomorrow.
Yeah. So,
Greg, I have an idea for a bet. If BC loses, I get a tattoo on my head. If BC wins, you take me to move.
Well, then I could, is it full meal or just appetizers? Mm-hmm. Like, I would take you and Chime if it was just appetizers.
I think it was full meal for sure.
They have great beef wontons over there. Do you like beef wontons?
Oh, those are good.
They're Wagyu.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah. This Who doesn't love a good Wagyu?
That would be a Seinfeld episode when Kenny Banya wanted Jerry to take him out for dinner, but he only ordered a salad, a soup, and a soup is technically not dinner. So apps are technically not dinner.
They don't count. Courtney said yesterday that sometimes she just orders an app as her dinner. Yeah.
But can we really trust Courtney with her food takes when she said that the mozzarella sticks are better than her dinner?
Yes. I think that's a very good take.
Where are the best mozzarella sticks or mozzarella hunk in the city?
See, I'm not a mozzarella hunk person. You're not? Like just the sticks. No appetizer makes me shake my tatas more than hot mozzarella sticks.
Really? I like when you get the full hunk of it, you know, with the marinara.
With the breading.
And the, yeah.
All right, I have two. Cafe Portobello in Southeast, spectacular hunk of mozzarella.
Really?
Okay. And Giacomo's Melrose, phenomenal fried mozzarella.
Yeah, see, I am more of like a pizza shop, like Village Pizza in Southie on L Street has great mozzarella sticks. And
you can just buy those at the grocery store and fry them.
Nah, they're
it's different. Are
and
they beer battered?
What?
Are they beer battered?
So I like a beer battered more than just like a crumb.
Like,
But Magoo's, before the pandemic, in Southie had the best mozzarella sticks.
Is there anything more disappointing than biting into one and there's no mozzarella?
It's just batter. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. You actually put me on a very good place, though, too. Broadway Best in Southie.
Yeah.
Great pizza, but very good mozzarella sticks as well.
All right.
Yeah. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Sorry. I don't know why it's so dumb. It feels like 27 outside. Afternoon high, 48.
Now that we have learned, thanks to Forbes magazine, that the operating income of the Boston Red Sox is $120 million, best in Major League Baseball, do you think we can get the spicy mustard back, Curtis, or not?
I don't know. I mean, Sam Kennedy's got a pretty big salary over there.
Is the spicy mustard more expensive, or is there some concern that it will offend those who have weak taste buds? Or
maybe it's just not a – maybe it doesn't sell like the regular mustard.
No, that can't be. It has to be a health thing.
No.
They tried to go healthy at Fenway for a bit. Like, they had healthy alternatives.
Okay, ketchup.
There's a garden at Fenway.
Yeah, they sell French fries.
I'm just saying.
And pizza.
What did Chime tell us the other day? The calories come from the sauces.
That was just in the one instance.
Okay, can we be on the same side once in your life?
I think you can argue that ketchup is the worst condiment for you.
It might be so much sugar.
You might think it's mayonnaise, but it's more than likely ketchup because of all the sugar.
Like, but the spicy mustard.
Greg hosted extra sauce.
The spicy mustard.
Yes, I did.
I don't eat it, but when I see people who do eat it and who eat regular mustard, because it's either for their hot dog or their pretzel.
You're right about that. But, I mean, it's the go-to for a lot of people on a dog, or at least it was at
Fenway. Right, the better mustard.
It's not the better mustard. Like, yes, I do. I like a good, like, missionary-style yellow mustard.
I do, too,
like,
but the brown spicy is the best mustard.
But that's where I think that...
Can you just agree, for Christ's sake?
No, I can't.
How many people...
Bigger whopper, Sam Kennedy saying that the Red Sox break even or that the best relationship he'd ever witnessed was Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora.
Because, Greg, you have to look at how many people order a hot dog and will choose the regular mustard over the spicy mustard. Maybe a lot of people don't put the spicy mustard on their hot dogs.
Maybe.
And that's probably why they went away from it.
Might be. I think you asked the other day about TC, where he's been. Here he is in the car. Hey, TC.
What's up, buddy? So first of all, since you just said that, they went away with the Golden's mustard. I don't know what year that was, but I hadn't been to games for a while just because of the whole landscape of our society. But anyways, I went one day and saw they didn't have the Golden's, and that's just a tragedy that they don't have it over there. It's one of the greatest things about my childhood. But anyways, you guys, I didn't want to call yesterday because Dig signed and there's no need to be talking about the Bruins or whatever. But that whole Swayman thing, before he signed the deal, I called you fine folks, and I told you, I said, how do you think Brad Marchand feels that this kid running his mouth the way he is? And I actually said it exactly. I said, if I was Marchand, I'd grab that kid by his ear and twist it until it came off his head and told him, listen, kid, we all took less money around here. That's the way we do things. Now, I understand, Wiggy, everyone wants to make as much money as they can. But like I said that day before he signed the deal, $6 million a year, he's not worried about having to get on food stamps anytime soon. So the moral of the story is the kid's a punk. He's worried about setting the market for goalies. What about your teammates first, pal? So the bottom line is, I'm not surprised in the least that their season went the way it did, because when you have guys like that enter a hockey locker room, it just doesn't work. It takes every guy on that team, even the Black Aces. Everyone has to be a good guy. Everyone wants to have to die for the guy to the left or the right to them. And if you have people like that and you get production from the bottom six, you will win a Stanley Cup. It can't happen any other way. Have a wonderful day.
Can I ask one question? Why didn't Brad Marchand take less money to stay in Boston?
He did it twice.
I'm saying this year they're
because he had that punk in there getting all sorts of money.
He wanted $7.5 million.
I don't care what he wanted. He deserves it, Wiggy. He deserves it.
He signed eight years, $49 million.
I'm not even a Bruins fan.
Eight years, $49 million. You don't have to tell us we can go ahead. Right, we know we can. 8 years, $49 million. In what way was that taking less?
What? You're talking about this deal? He doesn't want 8 years now.
No. In 2016, he signed an 8-year, $49 million extension with the Bruins. In what way was that taking less?
Because he could have got more AAV if he wanted from someone else, I guarantee you.
No, but TC, I'm just talking about this.
$849. That's not that big a deal.
But TC,
every time I'm reading story after story, there's nothing about how it was a hometown discount.
No, I'm just talking about this year.
No, I'm not talking about hometown discounts, but I'm talking about the guy could have got more. The way they work around
here. That's the definition of a hometown discount.
They were good when he wasn't around and when people didn't act like that. They were good. Don't you know that? Now they stink.
Yeah, but I was just talking. My only point. My only point was this year. The reports were that he wanted $7.5 million from the Bruins, and they were like, "Well, we'll bring you back at around $6 million, what you're making now." And he didn't want to do that. So that's the only reason why I asked TC that.
I think he shared with you what his argument was, which is that Brad Marchand, and from his perspective, had taken less several times than he might have made elsewhere.
So then,
Brad Marchand did not take less several times.
Yeah.
He signed an 8-year deal, and both the team and he lived up to it. The other thing is that Pasta got over $11 million in AAV.
Yes.
Whatever he's referencing with the Bruins left a long time ago.
See, and I just think that people don't think, because of the way he's playing, that he is worth the $8.25 million.
Do you think he is?
Not the way he's playing.
Okay. Right.
But that's what the market is, though.
Okay.
But that's what the market is.
Yeah.
Do you think Linus is worth $8.25 million?
I think Linus was the better goaltender.
I didn't ask that question. Do you think he's worth $8.25 million the way he's playing this year?
Probably not.
Right, but the market has said this is what a goalie of that caliber is worth.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to go based off of that.
All right. News coming up with Courtney in about 15 minutes. Right now, this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday on opening day for the Boston Red Sox. Where are you beginning this morning, Shine?
Well, Greg, you mentioned it earlier. LeBron James was on the Pat McAfee program, and he was asked about his relationship with Michael Jordan. Here is what LeBron had to say about that.
Okay, so you and Michael at a good spot.
Who, me and Michael?
Jordan.
Yeah, we're a good spot. We don't talk.
Why not, you think?
Because I'm still playing. I think I'm still playing. I'm still focused on my craft right now.
When you're done, you think you two will be the only two that can have a conversation?
I would hope so. I think it's because I'm still playing, you know, and MJ's, we all know MJ. Even if you don't know him personally, he's one of the most ruthless competitors there is. And till I'm done, And he doesn't have to look at me run up and down wearing the number 23. And every time my name is mentioned with his. He's like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm on a golf course. Yeah, I'm on a golf course.
Don't talk to me right now. I'm on the back nine. Do not call me. Like I said, I wear 23 because of MJ. You know, and that the inspiration that he gave me as a kid at Akron, Ohio, that don't have much inspiration in your hometown. You look at something.
Can I just say this? LeBron James should do that more often.
I couldn't agree more.
I thought he came across as so much more, like, not relatable, but he felt more real. Like, it felt authentic. I feel like what we get from him is always spliced up post-game cuts.
Yeah.
Whereas with McAfee, like, that was awesome. Talking about the competition and the humility at the end about why he chose that number and I thought LeBron came across really well with Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I was just surprised that he had the time to do it because he's focused on his craft.
That he is.
Yeah, that's not exactly a thing I would say, kind of a douchey thing.
Well, they did happen to just be in Indianapolis, right? Like, it's against the Pacers. They had a game against the Pacers, so he did also hit the buzzer beater last night. Right. So,
clearly focused on his craft a little bit. Douche move, calling your job. Your craft?
No, that should have been on the ick bracket.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
but that's what they call it in sports, though.
It's a douche move. Like,
so then Bill's a douche?
Yeah. Sounds like an artist.
Wait a second. Bill's a douche.
Oh.
Bill Belichick.
I don't know. I mean, he acted like a douche sometimes,
Because he would always say, make sure you're working on your craft.
Okay. Maybe he'd say that to you in the locker room. I just happen to think calling your job if you say you don't have time to talk to somebody because you're focused on working on your craft, and that's a douche move.
But isn't this our craft? Should you be working?
It's a douche move, just like calling yourself a savant. No offense, Shyam.
Every day I work on to get better at my craft. That's what I do. So
it
that's
sounds
a douche.
Douchey when you say it.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to defend him on every single thing he does.
I'm not defending him, but you don't
I
have to criticize him on every single thing he says.
I do criticize him for putting, if he loves Michael Jordan,
he just
and that
it.
Was the guy, and that was the guy that he grew up wanting to be.
Right.
Why wouldn't you talk to him every chance you got? I would.
He said Michael doesn't want to talk.
He's putting it all on Michael.
He said Michael don't want to talk.
So you buy that?
Of course. If based on what we do,
I couldn't understand because at first he said, I'm too busy working on my craft to have time to talk to him.
Right. So, see, you criticize. See, the difference, you say, well, I don't have to defend him at every corner, but you criticize him at everything.
Yeah, I can't stand him.
Because he said the word craft.
I can't stand him.
Oh, it's okay.
I don't like him.
Nothing wrong with that. Did you say that?
It's all about him.
Just say the disclaimer before you.
Everything in the world is about LeBron James when you ask LeBron James. That's why I don't like him.
Yeah,
I don't mind every player, though. I don't mind. I'm not a LeBron hater. Right. I just think it's a douche move.
But that's how players are. And Greg and I were talking about this yesterday off air. Celtic City, Episode 4. Larry Bird, one of the biggest DBs or douches around, if you want to say that, said, when it comes to the last shot, he's taking it.
Yeah, but because, did you hear why he said it?
I'm going to tell you why he said it. He's taking the last shot. And listen, I love Larry Bird. He's taking the last shot, and I agree with him, because he works harder than everybody else and shoots more than everybody else. So basically, like, I'm taking the shot because I put more work in than any of you guys in here, and I shoot more than you.
Very LeBron-coded.
If LeBron would have said that, Greg would be sitting here going,
no,
what a douche move.
No, I would not. Greg, stop it. No, I would not.
Larry
Bird was talking about how long after everybody else was gone,
right,
he would be there by himself,
right,
shooting hoops.
Right.
And that he felt like when it came to the last shot, they were talking specifically about that Sixers series.
Yep.
And did he make it?
Yeah, he made it.
He made it.
But I got no issues with that. I said if LeBron said the same thing, you would criticize him.
No, I wouldn't. All right, what's next, Shyam?
There's some bad leadership going on with the Boston Bruins, as we've talked about briefly with TC there. Well, Charlie McAvoy spoke yesterday about that leadership and how him and Pasta and the other leaders on the team need to react going forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, that'll be something, that myself and Pasta and the remaining leaders here will have discussions about. And to be honest, I haven't crossed paths with anybody since I've been hurt. These guys are in the thick of it. They're in the battle, and I'm just trying to get myself healthy. So it's tough to not be in the fight. It's tough to lead from the sidelines when you're not within the group and you're not, there. But you know, moving forward, it's probably our most important objective is how we're going to get it back and what we're going to do and how, like you said, how are we going to leave it better than the way that we found it. And, you know, we've certainly got some work to do on that front. But it's a challenge that you're so fortunate to have, because I know the both of us know what it means to be a Boston Bruin, and we know what it looks like and what it feels like to be a part of the teams that are the winning teams, the special teams. So it's right there. We just got to get it back.
Of the two, is one better suited to be your captain? I mean, I think it's Charlie McAvoy, as opposed, no offense to David Pastrnak, but I feel like Charlie McAvoy would grow into a bigger and better voice in that locker room.
I mean, for me, I don't really know them, like, inside the locker room, and so I don't, they both seem like they work hard, they both seem like they're passionate. Maybe it might be a little bit easier for McAvoy, just because of the language disparity, and he, you know, maybe Pasta's not as vocal because of that. But
I think it all comes down to who do they respect more, and so that's really only can be told by the people inside the locker room. So if they respect Pasta more, if they respect his game more, then he would be a good person that he can get them in line. If that's McAvoy, then that's who they should go.
Yeah,
with.
It is
How
all about
many
the
people
respect.
On this team would you keep, like, that you feel like you couldn't lose?
Swayman, Pasta, and McAvoy.
See,
I'd like to keep Lori.
Yeah,
I think Lori's pretty good.
I would keep Morgan Geeky.
I'd keep Geeky.
I would.
I know, I was just doing a shame.
But at the trade deadline, we were like, get rid of everybody except for those three.
Honestly, yeah. I'd get rid of McAvoy.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, outside of Pasta, I would get rid of everybody on the team.
Right.
Like, there's nobody that's been in any way someone that has shown that they're worth. Like, I would trade places with the Penguins, who I thought were the worst team in the NHL for most of the season. This team sucks, and even worse, they have no accountability.
I mean, in order to fix the locker room issues, do you have to get rid of Jeremy Swayman?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more...
You don't think so?
Well, if... Do guys in that locker room like him?
We don't know, but everything we've heard
It seems
recently,
like everybody, Mike Milbury said yesterday on the show that he sounds like he's a dink.
Well, it seems like...
Swayman's actually taking human development classes right now, so better be ready for next year.
It seems like two people didn't like him, and one's no longer here. It seemed like it was Marchand and Zadorov.
Oh, I thought you meant Dale.
How do we know that Pasta wasn't on his side when it came to contracts?
Maybe
Pasta likes him. Yeah. Maybe McAvoy likes him because, remember, McAvoy got a giant contract at $10 million. So maybe those two, they're clearly, and we don't have to go down this road, but we will, there clearly was a split in that locker room, and it might have been because guys came to the defense of Swayman when it had to do with his contract, where other guys were on the other side of that.
I don't know if you can even get anybody after the season that he had to have interest in eating that deal.
You'd be selling at an all-time low, for sure.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I don't think you have a choice but to run it back with him at least for another season.
Right. Yeah.
At minimum.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, me and Wiggy's dream may be dying. Adam Schefter was on ESPN yesterday, and he had this to say about the idea that Abdul Carter may be available at number 4 for the New England Patriots.
Adam's probably telling me it's never going to happen, but if Abdul Carter is there at 4, that is a dream scenario for Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, Matt, it's not going to happen. Now, Abdul Carter's going to go before the New England Patriots pick at 4. It'd be an upset right now if Abdul Carter made his way to number 4. I would handicap Abdul Carter right now as the likely pick at number 2 today. We reserve the right to change our mind. A lot of things change. But the way this is shaking out to me,
fluid,
it looks like he's tracking to be a Brown. And let's see how it plays out.
Luckily, Adam Schefter just a month ago said the thing he's most confident in about the NFL draft is that the Cleveland Browns will draft a quarterback. So clearly, the Browns just want to trade out of the pick, and they're trying to tell everybody what the best pick at the spot would be so that they can get out of there.
Right. And Schefter's useful in that he has the biggest mouthpiece.
Bingo.
And that's why the Patriots leaked to Schefter that it would take 5 number ones to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, who, correct me if I'm wrong, went for a second round pick.
Chime, Mach 3.0 tease. Where do you currently have Abdul Carter going?
Number 4 to the New England Patriots.
Yes.
You ruined the tease. Now what's the point?
That's okay. You're releasing the mock next week, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Whole 32 pick first round mock will be out next week.
Okay. What day?
It'll be out next, what is that, Tuesday, April 1st.
I'm not sleeping until
that is roadshow schedule release day.
And let me tell you, it's confidential, but it's a good one.
What, roadshows?
Roadshow season is a good one.
Oh, there are some. And the way it falls in the calendar.
Yes.
It's later this year.
Yep. Weather is going to be spectacular.
It drips. Back off.
It drips in the summer.
Drips. I like how you said that.
Thank
you. Yeah. Yeah.
You've really been working on your craft, Greg.
Thank you.
Yeah. We've got to talk about how we're going to unveil the entire thing for people.
Okay.
Because I think we should maybe like every hour only give a little taste until the last hour on Tuesday, and then the whole shebang.
All right. Can I tell you an idea that was turned down by the lifeguard / barista?
What?
I said we should have Jackson go to each location and do like a video, and we release them all. And he goes, we don't have that in the budget. How much could that cost?
Which part in the budget? Like his hourly wage or the like the travel money or
gas money? Can't throw him $20 for gas?
It's the video, the video production. I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to start teaching James today. Just say no, and all of a sudden you'll be promoted. Like that's literally all you have to do.
Can I ask this question? Because I know you guys get sensitive when I throw ideas out there.
Oh, boy. I love your ideas.
Like literally, you throw ideas out after everybody around you has been working on things for months, but go ahead.
No, this could still work. Why wouldn't you do to really build up the anticipation and potentially open the door for more listeners? Why wouldn't you do a new location every day?
Well, because some locations appear to be so popular that you don't want to go. You're saying
like when you unveil
during
them.
The week, unveil a new one? Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm asking the question.
It's drawn it out pretty long.
Yeah, that's really kind of like, I feel like it's not that big of an announcement.
Oh, okay. Right? All right. Really, well, I don't know. I thought the roadshow was a big announcement.
It's not like like we're waiting for smoke signals on the new Pope. I mean, it's just the roadshows.
It's like a movie trailer where they have a few trailers that they drop.
Like
they
you don't want an Easter egg in there or something like that?
Well, they drop one, and then they have another one later on down the road that they drop.
Unfortunately, I've already made everything, so let's just stick to the plan.
All right. Well, Tuesday.
I like it, Wiggy.
Just an idea. Yeah.
Tuesday on the show. Roadshow season 4 schedule drops, and so does Shimes Mach 3.0. We will get to Courtney in today's news next.
Crews were able to rescue an injured tree worker in East Bridgewater yesterday. This is scary. The tree worker was in a safety harness and was climbing up the tree when one of the pieces of the tree kicked back, broke his arm while he was stuck 47 feet off the ground.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. Here's rescuer Ben Ferreria on WCVB.
His left arm did have an injury to his wrist region. I had to be delicate working around that injury in the process of doing the rigging to remove him from the tree.
Wow. I'm surprised that there aren't more accidents when it cuts. That's one of those dangerous jobs.
Hell yeah.
Very dangerous.
I could never do it because I don't like heights.
And I don't trust harnesses enough. Like, to be up there in a tree in a safety harness, same thing. Like, I don't trust the poor people that are always cleaning windows outside of buildings. I don't trust those.
Those guys.
I wanted to do that.
Curtis
Ken
wanted
said
to
no.
do it. Yeah. Blue collar Friday. Yeah.
Those guys got some balls. They do the windows outside my building. And I used to think it was like the little metal thing that you kind of stood on and went down.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. It's just like one, like they're on a harness and they're just going from one window to the other.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor guys, last week they had to catch it in a Winnie the Pooh.
There ain't no Winnie the Pooh. T-shirt always comes off first.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh lost in the ick bracket.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, lost to holding nose underwater.
Oh, well, that's kind of
that tracks. Yeah.
It, like grown man jumping in water holding nose.
Yeah.
You would know.
Complete ick.
Yeah.
Complete ick.
Taunton police arraigned a 25-year-old Kane Jefferson at his hospital bedside. He was arrested overnight after he was accused of punching a nurse in the face, leading to possible broken bones. The nurse, they're saying, will have permanent damage and scarring from this.
Nurses are not paid enough.
Correct.
For what they do.
There is literally nobody on planet Earth that does more and is thanked less the nurses. They are the single greatest people on planet Earth.
Yep. Yeah. And again, I've talked about it already, but The Pitt, great TV show, and I've talked to some of my nurse friends who are watching it, and they say that it is the most accurate depiction of their job any TV show has ever done.
Wow. Yeah. I thanked all my nurses yesterday after my colonoscopy.
Oh, how'd that go? Yeah.
It went well. You know, the nurses make you feel right at home.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They came in with a bunch of graham crackers afterwards because I was starving. Yeah. So, kind of like what you're used to when you go see Dr. Diane.
Did they go right through you, the graham crackers, after the colonoscopy?
No, they...
Okay.
They made their way through later on, but not right afterwards.
Were you drugged up?
Yeah, they give you a little...
Twilight, right?
Yeah, they give you a little something.
I need video of you next time when you're coming out of the colonoscopy haze. Yeah.
Are you, like, talking the entire time?
Yeah, I was in there, like, talking to them.
You don't feel anything?
No, you kind of feel...
Excuse me. You just asked Wiggy if he was talking all the time?
No, I know.
At any time during the day or night, the answer is yes.
I've just never been put into twilight, so I know you're awake, but you're kind of out of it a bit.
No, I was like, you know, I was still able to talk, and you know, you don't like feel like you just feel the pressure. Mm. Yeah. You don't really feel.
Well, we have a lot of nurses who listen to this show, and we hear from them all the time. And thank you for what you do, because you do not make enough money.
No,
and you should not be punched by a dude who's in a bed that you're trying to take care of.
Correct. The Karen Reed case continues to get wilder. A former juror from the first trial joining her defense team.
This is crazy.
Crazy.
What?
Yeah, Victoria George.
She was an attorney.
Yep. She's an attorney. She became the alternate juror for Reed's first trial on the closing arguments day. So she therefore did not participate in the deliberations, but she was on the jury the entire time.
She would arguably know the most about the case as a juror.
Correct.
She was there listening every single day.
Yeah.
And then going over the evidence. And so she is... joining the defense team.
Correct. She is now working for David Yannetti.
Wow.
That's a boss move right there. Yeah, that is a boss move.
Wild.
Yeah, jury selection for this go-around starts April 1st.
But isn't she being paid?
Is she being paid?
Yeah.
Well, none of the attorneys are this go-around.
She's doing it pro bono?
I would assume, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I have no idea.
She clearly believes in the case.
Is this, like, unprecedented? I've never heard of this before.
I think
I've never heard of it happening ever before either, which is
does wild. The prosecute it like does the prosecution do they have the ability to be like to the judge like they can't do that?
Well,
or is it like
the judge sometimes I think there's a like if you want to serve if you're an attorney that practices in another state like Alan Jackson and you want to practice on I think Alan Jackson practices on David Yannetti's license here. I think the judge can deny that.
Got it.
But they don't normally. So I don't know if the judge could or not. But that's wow. Wild.
If she's
wild.
Found not guilty, it seems like there's a big, big lawsuit on her behalf coming some way if you're telling me her attorneys are doing this for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
They must see something. They must see a payday down the road.
Yeah.
All right. We have got to take a break, but we will get to the rest of today's news next.